heaven, a tear drops my eye. My body temperature falls. I'm shaking and they breaking, trying to save the zone. Pumping on my chest and I'm screaming. I stop breathing. Damn, I see demons. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? I can't die, my boo-boo's about to have my baby. I think it's too late for praying. Hold up, her voice broke silly and it slowly started saying,
bring your lifestyle to me, I make it better.
How long will I live?
Turn your life better forever.
Who will I be, the G that I got?
I'll make your life better than you can imagine, no even dreams. So relax your soul, let me stay control. Close your eyes, my
soul. My eyes are closed. Jason Michaud, please stand up.
I got my mama and my daddy and my homies in my corner. It's gonna take a miracle, let's say, for me to walk again and talk again. But anyway, I get fronted some keys to get back on my feet. And everything that nigga said came to reality. Living like a baller, low, having money and blowing helichronic smoke. I bought my mama a Benz and bought my boo-boo a Jag. And now I'm rolling in a 9 Trizate L Dog Ray.
Just remember,
indeed, agree, proceed to smoke weed. Never have a want, never have a need. They say I'm greedy, but I still want more. Cause my eyes want to tell you some more. Really though.
What is going on, everybody? It is another episode of The Stew Show. We got some pretty cool people in the house today. I wanted to just ask everybody a question. If, like in a bad movie, you actually went into a McDonald's and all the servers were robots that looked exactly like real people, would you ever go back there again? Text me your answers. Like, I got a couple sound bites I need to get out of the way before I bring in my guests. Hope you guys like these ones. Like little Jerry.
What have I been doing? Everybody says to me, hey, you don't do the show anymore. What do you do? I'll tell you what I do. Nothing. What you're thinking, that sounds pretty good. You're thinking, I might like to do nothing myself. Well, let me tell you, doing nothing is not as easy as it looks. You have to be careful. Because the idea of doing anything, which could easily lead to doing something, that would cut into your nothing, and that would force me to have to drop everything.
What do you do? Yep. Nothing. So, why is going to church a yin and a yang? It's a question that's been going on for centuries. But I think this will simplify it for everyone.
That church in particular, they're still shielding the people that have done terrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just no denying that. There's, if you look at the facts, if you look at everything that's come out, there's no denying that.
No.
It's super unfortunate. Because I think the vast majority of the people that are involved in the religion that aren't the people that are pedophiles.
Right.
I think they're very good people that probably think about it the same way maybe your daughter would like to think about it. That
yeah.
There's some place where people can get together and they exchange affection and camaraderie and this acceptance of something higher than them that holds them to a certain standard and wants them to be good people. And
yeah.
That's good for everybody.
Good for everybody.
Yeah. But if it wasn't for all that kid fucking.
God.
All that kid fucking just ruined
so
all that.
Wrong.
It just, yeah.
Yeah.
It really,
it
really,
did.
It's
yeah.
Such a sad, sad thing.
Google this because I've said this. Never bothered looking it up.
Super duper wrong. Give it up for Tom Papa and Joe Rogan. Like, there is some more to that I want to get to. It's a little gibber more.
Tree. After converting to Catholicism. Oh, so you have to be a priest already. If
right.
Episcopalian,
yes.
And then you're allowed to have a wife and kids if you're Episcopalian, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let them convert to Catholicism.
So, I mean, look at that right there. Like, Catholicism's the only one that doesn't allow them to have sex, right?
Yeah.
And it's the only one with this littered with kid fucking.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Come
enough.
On.
Exactly.
Just cut the shit.
We were actually at Mass, and he was talking about, there was one thing from the gospel that was talking about being married, being with a woman. And then he finishes.
Cheers, kind sir. Cheers.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
He finishes the sermon, and then he goes into a sermon all about being with a woman. And this is a man that doesn't come close to that. This is a man that has no experience.
Right.
It would be so much better for the church if he was a married man with children, and then he could really talk about being in a family. Like, who are you? You know nothing about what we're dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah, I never went to the Catholic Church when I was an adult, but it would be curious to be there, to be like a husband and wife sitting there in this fucking church listening to this dude who is supposed to be celibate drone on about how you should live your life and what kind of relationship you should have. Like,
right.
Bitch, you're dressed like a fucking genie. Who are you giving advice to?
With a giant scarf on.
Yeah, you're dressed like a wizard, son. This is preposterous. What are you doing? What's that thing on your shoulder?
Fucking, they bring it home, my friends. They hit it hard, and they don't care. Anyways, coming to the hocus and the pocus. Like, it's kind of like people who hide behind things, like, I can't say, like, no, none at all, but, like, no talent, they use a lot of props, kind of like, Kiss back in the 70s, I mean, they were alright musically, but it was mainly their gimmick, and the Kiss Army and all that, or, like, a stand-up comedian, Carrot Top, or... Even though I love him to death, fucking Ozzy. He's like biting off the heads of bats, and it's kind of all gimmickry. The gimmicks to making money. But you gotta admit, Kiss made a lot of money.
You have to sell it. They're not just going to buy it.
Unless.
But if you're allowed to dress like a wizard, and you stand in front of a golden podium with a giant, huge sculpture of Jesus nailed to a cross behind you, and there's organ music playing, you know, I mean...
Huge. That's your act. That's a good act. That's an act that's going to... Look at that.
You know what, man? They should make that shit illegal the same way they made advertising booze illegal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you know what?
Look at how pretty that is, though.
It's gorgeous.
So pretty. Wouldn't it be better
if that looks like a Christmas mass or something? A
bunch of belly dancers up there and...
People passing around bongo drums.
Bongo. Mongo bongo. All right. We're going to get my special guest in here right now. But until then, I'll give you a little... taste. Just a little something. Do 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 do.
Turn off the bass and let it move on the track.
We're back. We had to bring in some stuff.
Someone always comes in.
Yeah, stuff like packages and groceries and
stuff.
You know, just stuff.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Here's the scoop. We've got Brad Olson, Mr. Santos here from the Howard Street Fair that just got done a couple weeks ago. And we're mainly really interested in part two of his trip down South America and Antarctica. Say hello, Brad.
Hello, everybody out there in Stucho Land. Yep, just come back from a long trip, doing public speaking events, talking about it. Happy to be here on the Stu Show to give him a little further information on the trip.
Like, let's talk about, kind of, give the, you know, what you did the other day down in Petaluma, Chickaluma.
Yeah, I spoke at the Institute of Noetic Sciences on the mysteries of South America.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
Hidden anomalies of Antarctica. And it's 2.5 hour talk. It's hard to just synthesize it all into a few words.
The cliff notes. No, I'm just kidding.
The cliff notes.
Yeah, like tell me some cool shit that happened down there.
The coolest thing was probably the scenery and the nature and the animals are no fear of humans, so they're really cool to see. Penguins swimming alongside the boat, whales going under the boat, seals on icebergs going by, and you could go right up to a penguin mother and her chick and go right up to it with your camera and they wouldn't even flinch. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid. They don't have any fear of humans, so that's kind of cool. Just getting that up close and personal with all the animals down there.
What's up with the South America part?
Yeah, so that was the bulk of the trip. That's where I was most of the time. Antarctica was just a 26-day trip within a trip. But we got to go to 5 different countries, all up and down Argentina, half of Chile, a big part of Peru, through Bolivia, and a really cool beach town in Uruguay.
An average day in Bolivia. What do you do all day?
Well, for the first week, we were staying at Lake Titicaca at a cool town called Copacabana. And did a couple trips out to the islands there, hiking around the islands. Back in Copacabana, we met some friends of ours that we did the Nassim Harriman Resonance Academy trip in Peru and Bolivia with. Did an ayahuasca ceremony.
How was that?
That was really awesome. Very mind expanding.
Like, did you have a shaman like helping you do it? Or?
Well, there was a guy who had it, and he was supposedly a shaman, but Emily didn't think so much, and she called him a sham man.
Okay. But how, like, explain the trip.
So basically,
what's it like?
We all kind of started in the daytime. You're not supposed to eat all day. I had a little bit. I had a breakfast, so I did kind of have something to eat that day. But then started fasting in the afternoon. Then we all got together and kind of stated our intentions, what we wanted to do, what we were hoping to see on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walked up this hill and watched the sunset over Lake Titicaca. And he gave us a little bit of a sample. And I started feeling it pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I could also tell my stomach was getting a little queasy. That was just the sample. Then we took the full dose when it got dark out and started listening to music and doing a little oming and chanting, whatnot.
I'm all similar to your trip on the boat. We were like, yeah, we were just puking for 4 days.
Yeah, well, that was on, all, that was
what I've heard is when you take ayahuasca, if it's real and it's strong,
yeah,
everybody pukes, but then it feels great after.
Yeah, it does. And
did you puke?
I did puke. Emily didn't. She's got a pretty iron gut, but she lost her cookies on the boat.
No, but
about what happens when after you puke, you get like mad visions. And for me, it was a lot of visuals, really cool visuals, colorful visuals in your mind and like what you see. Sort of like when you're on acid and things move around. It's still the same. It's still the world around you, but you just see it differently.
Mm-hmm. As strong as acid?
Way stronger.
More powerful.
Oh, yeah. Way more psychedelic, too.
Did you take anything from it being different? You know what I mean?
The takeaway? Yeah, though supposedly you can have, like, visions about your life or your health or your relationships.
Like,
yeah.
You the right way.
Right. I didn't have any of those, per se, but after I threw up, and you see, I've never thrown up taking acid or maybe mushrooms once or twice. They're kind of really stomachy. But this stuff, man, I could tell within an hour I was going to lose it. And I did. But then afterwards, I felt a lot better. And then
and this is before
it's like
the
it flushed
trip.
The body out, too.
This
toxins.
Is before the boat trip.
Oh, yeah, that was. Okay. About 2 months before.
Okay.
Yeah, this was in early December, and we got on the boat. And
all right, well, make
January.
It quick, because I know some people are probably like, yeah, whatever, but I'm like this. What were the hallucinations like? Like,
I just remembered it was really colorful, like a matrix of colors and patterns, and I kept my eyes closed, and it was just really intense patterns going by, almost like the movie Tron, where it was just really colorful and fluorescent and lights.
And you're in a whole nother country.
Yeah, we're in Bolivia in this really cool hotel suite with some friends of ours. Yeah. And everybody had a really close, similar experience.
Keep going. I know somebody ate peyote last night. But
yeah,
we don't need to talk about that right now.
Right.
Let's get into, you know, keep talking.
Well, just that it lasts.
About that, the whole journey. Your tour.
The trip. Okay, well,
yeah, well
so then,
well,
you asked the day in the life in Bolivia. So then after that, we said goodbye to our friends. Everybody was taking off and going on their different ways. And we had the vehicle, so we were going to go due south. We had to pay for visas, $165 a person. So we wanted to spend some time in Bolivia. It's a cool country. It's very indigenous culture and people. And so we started driving south, and we went to this, first we went to La Paz, the capital, Tiwanaku, Bolivia, and then the capital, La Paz, for a couple days, and then we went south to
you mentioned Oraru. Last episode that you're in La Paz, but go on.
Yeah. And then the coolest thing in southern Bolivia was the Salar de Uyuni, which is the largest salt flat in the world. It's like an ocean of salt, and it's pure salt. You can just scrape it right off the salt floor and eat it. And it's, salt, yeah.
I know there's a certain few places in the world that have salt that has more minerals and minerals, like that your body needs.
Yeah.
Like, pink Himalayan salt is pretty high up there. I think it's in the top 5 of everywhere in the world of the best salt for you.
Right.
Right? Is it?
Is it like that?
Like, do people mine it?
They mine it, for sure. Yeah, it's well mined, and it's white. But I think maybe it's more industrial salt. It's not like the health benefits of Himalayan salt that I could find out. But they use the salt to build things, and there's a salt hostel out there, and they built some sculptures for the Dakar race.
Like an igloo out of ice?
Kind of like an igloo out of salt. Salt blocks.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, it's just the building is salt.
Correct.
Dang.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the deers don't just come up and lick it?
No, it's way out in the middle of nowhere.
You know what a salt lick is, right?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really high up there. It's probably at about 12,000 feet elevation, so not many animals, not many trees, nothing really lives up there too easily because it's pretty inhospitable climate.
No matter where it is, there's something that lives there. What are the animals that live there?
A lot of llama species.
A llama.
Yeah, we saw a couple emu.
Did humans bring them there, or they live there on
their own?
They
live there. Incans had them. That's indigenous animals. There are big land birds like emus we saw down in Patagonia.
Mm-hmm.
Just run around on the side of the road.
It's like an ostrich.
Flightless birds, yeah.
It's like a big ostrich.
Great big land bird, yeah.
Emu.
Yeah, something like that. Probably got a different name. But there's many different species of llamas and alpacas, like 5, 6, 7 different species. So there's smaller ones, there's bigger ones, there's the more shaggy ones that live up higher elevation because they got to stay warm.
Right.
So some are tame, some are wild, others are people's pets.
All right, so, like, I did get to see some of your photos, and no one can see them on this podcast, but let's talk about some of the art, like, the, you know, you had some pictures of you standing in front of some pretty rad-looking shit.
Where, in Antarctica?
Like, no, this is our Max. Like,
Max,
hieroglyphics.
You mean, oh, you mean Peru, Bolivia. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that was the only place.
That's where all the megalithic structures were in Peru and a little bit in Tiwanaku, Bolivia, but primarily around Machu Picchu and Ollantaytambo and Sacsayhuamán.
Where was my sister at yesterday when we were looking at a picture of her?
She was down in Mexico.
I know.
Teotihuacan.
And they have pyramids.
Yeah, they have pyramids there.
Did you see any pyramids?
We did see pyramids. There are two pyramids at Tiwanaku, and they are step pyramids, and they're mostly broken down and not so pyramidal anymore because they have been quarried and somewhat reconstructed.
Throughout the years, I mean,
yeah.
No matter what, it's always going to deteriorate.
Yeah.
You know, unless... It's like Mount Rushmore, and for somehow they put probably a protective ceiling on that and take care of it so high well. Whereas, like, if you just build something and put it in the sun and it's near the equator or closer than just, say, Oregon, it's going to start falling apart at some point.
Yeah, and Tiwanaku is very, very old. It's the only acknowledged by everybody to be a pre-Incan site because some of the older megaliths in Peru are contested whether the Incans built everything you see there or if the Incans built on top of something much, much older.
Who's pre-Incan?
The Viracocha culture, which Viracocha is represented at Tiwanaku on the sun gate.
Everybody hears about the Incans and the Mayans. What are they called? Say it one more time.
The Viracocha.
And the Viracocha is most famous for what?
Well, building Tiwanaku, everybody agrees that they were the pre-Incan people that did that, but also the progenitor culture to the Incans,
mm-hmm.
that they gave, they were the culture before them that gave the Incans maybe some of their building technique practices or their religion that morphed into something. Very little is known about the Viracocha culture, just that it is this pre-Incan culture and was also a very high culture.
Ballpark me. They existed from what year to what year?
So the Incans were about 12 to 1400 years ago. They came on the scene. So pre-Incan would have been 2000 and greater. But now that all the megalithic sites are being redated,
mm-hmm.
it's as old as 12,000 years old.
Wow.
So there may have been even cultures before the Viracocha, but nobody knows about them yet.
Okay.
Some other cool things
so
we saw.
Just the pyramid, there was, I saw some pictures of some pretty crazy cool art.
Yeah.
Like ring and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, mad architecture all over the place. And you have these giant statues that have been pulled out that are now in the museum at Tiwanaku. And they all have these like helmet hats on,
uh-huh.
and great big buggy eyes and elongated ears with their hands over their bellies. And what the great explorer Thor Heyerdahl said was he thought they were very comparable to Easter Island,
okay.
which is a couple thousand miles off the coast of Chile.
Say, that's not that close.
Not that close, but in a boat.
Not that far.
Not that
either.
Far either. You could do it a few weeks. So maybe Easter Island statues that we've all seen are very iconic.
The tiki.
Yeah, had something to do also with Tiwanaku or vice versa.
The gods aren't coming. You didn't put a hat on that one. We need you to put a hat on the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to take all the food and all the bananas so we can slide these rocks, but build another one.
You better worship your gods and pay homage. Or you're going to be in trouble, mister.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it was cool to see that, and I used that as part of my presentation in the Mysteries of South America, some of the statuary that you can find in Tiwanaku area that looks pretty similar to the Easter Island tiki head statues that are so iconic around the world. And a lot of other cool art and architecture and megalithic building styles and carvings, really intricate.
All right.
Water delivery system.
You know me. Anywhere in where you went in South America, the most romantic, the most place, like if you were, you only get one weekend, but you're going to take the girl you love, and she's never been there, and so you're not going to go here, right? Let's go to the salt flats. You know what I mean? You're like, no, I want you to have the best views, but you know, whatever you consider the most romantic space.
Well, probably in Lake Titicaca in that town of Copacabana.
Yeah.
We did a trip out to some islands, the island of the sun and the moon. And actually that was very romantic. It was very
beautiful.
Beautiful place. A lot of cool hiking trails, a lot of artifacts, including monuments that you could go to, beautiful
when you
views
say artifacts,
from restaurants.
I'm like what?
Well, like Incan architecture, old ruins that you could go see.
Mainly buildings?
Yeah, buildings, statuary, temples, shrines, a whole bunch of stuff.
When you say like statuary, I'm like, statues of what?
Well, statues of some of their gods and goddesses, even boats that were made out of reeds, because they have a lot of reeds that grow in Lake Titicaca, and they can make reed rafts out of them. That's what part of Thor Heyerdahl's thesis is. He rebuilt one of the reed boats and sailed it from South America to Easter Island to show that it could be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was cool to see all these things that I've heard about, read about, written about, and to go there and visit them and walk through them. And Machu Picchu's everything everybody says it is. It's really incredible. Way up in the mountain jungles.
Who were the more mellow people, like the farmers? And then there had to be some kind of like more Apache Comanche kind of like burly dudes down there. You have to have seen some weapons that they made and that kind of stuff. Like there gotta have been some dudes that were savages.
Yeah, that'd probably be more in the Amazon. We didn't get down that deep into the jungle, just right. Kind of skirted it in northern Argentina. But the Incas were pretty peaceful people. They didn't even lock their doors. They all kind of worked for the common good, and Spanish came in and conquered them and tore up their empire. And another one of the great cultures of the ancient world went down in pretty fast order. Yeah. It's a bit of a travesty of cultural justice that the Incans went down and hard so fast. But it happened in other places in Central America too.
I don't know how recent this data just came out, but for some reason from a few different places where I get my news and stuff, they've just been bringing up over a million plants and, you know, animals are extinct now.
Wow.
I'm like, over a million? Like, what are we gonna do? Why do we keep taking over and not stopping?
Yeah, well, human population keeps growing so fast. Everybody needs to grow and farm and subsist, feed their family.
Yeah, but nobody these days wants to go dig a ditch, put soil in it, plant seeds, and get paid a dollar for a tomato when they're charging five at the store. Maybe you even get a dollar, and it's just like, hey, dude.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't think farming's what it used to be when it comes to money.
Hmm. Yeah, and a lot of these people we saw in South America, or especially in Peru and Bolivia, are pretty poor subsistence farmers. They're more wealthier in Chile and to a larger extent in Argentina and Uruguay. But Peru and Bolivia were very indigenous culture countries. People still wore the traditional clothes and we saw farmers and herders out on the land.
Tell me more, like, personal story of, like, there's, I know you're with new girlfriend, but there has to be some stories of somebody that lived down there, like, yeah, this one time, this one dude came up to us and he was doing this, or, you know, just give me a story.
Oh, yeah, sure. We made some good friends. First of all, it was 150 people on the Residence Academy tour of Peru and Bolivia, so we got to...
what does that mean, 150
that's,
people?
Yeah,
what?
A tour group of 150 people.
You were part of a
tour group? Yeah, I was one of the guest speakers. So,
oh, you were speaking on
Yeah,
this.
I gave a couple talks. And it was mostly Brian Forrester was the main speaker, and Nassim Harriman, and he's the head of the Residence Academy, and it was like his tour group.
So how much do people pay to go on this tour?
It was a lot. It was like $6,000 or $7,000.
But because you're speaking, it's free?
Because I was speaking, I was subsidized. I did pay some. And,
oh, you didn't get
and
free
I had either. My own vehicle to sleep in and make my own meals and get around. So
yeah.
I had most of my expenses covered.
Yeah.
But a few times we jumped on the train with the group and went to Machu Picchu and traveled around there together and... Some of the tour buses we went along with.
I'd like to take some mushrooms at Machu Picchu.
That'd be a good place.
Yeah, we got to kick everybody out because Stuart and Santos are going to do some weird ceremony thing.
Yeah, we tried to do that on a full moon, but they wouldn't let us.
Yeah, everybody, beat it.
Wouldn't let us.
Machu Picchu's mine tonight. All of a sudden, I helicopter in Ollie Wisdom and Max and... Start setting up the sound system with Jeffrey and start making phone calls. Yeah, you guys can come up now. Party's about to start.
At the Pichu.
Oh, how fun would that be? Freaking.
It would.
Triple C party at Machu Picchu, but no one's allowed unless you're a CCC family member.
Wow. Keep dreaming, mister.
Yeah, you gotta dream big every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I remember back in the day, Owen said to me once, I want to rent Alcatraz and throw a triple C party there. But I think if we do, they'll have us all in one place too close to jail or something. Like, we might all get rounded up. And I was like, yeah, probably not doing it at Alcatraz. But that would have been cool.
Right on. Yeah. And then, so I had to come back to do the... How Weird Street Fair, which we just did 2 weeks ago today. It was a big hit.
So, like, the whole theme was pretty much the 1880s versus the 1980s.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you haven't actually thought about it in a long time, but the 1980s, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like this, steampunk versus cyborg, and I'm like,
who's going to win
the
that?
80s is cyborg?
Yeah.
Really?
Terminator.
Really?
He's a cyborg. You know what?
I figure when it comes to music, the 50s had their own thing. The 60s had their own thing. The 70s had their own thing. The 80s had their own thing. Heinz is not picking up.
No for Stusho. Okay. Yeah, all the ages had their icons.
But I'm like this. The 80s, we came up with like some real good styles of music that have carried the distance.
The 90s.
No, then the 90s came.
Well, the 80s was kind of big hair rock bands.
that we had that, but we had rap music.
True.
We had punk rock.
We did.
And that was a way different style of music than ever before. There was no Dead Kennedys in the 50s, dude.
Right.
You know, there's no Black Flag, no TSOL, no Rich Kids on LSD, no RKL, no none of that music, right? But then, I can't forget Minor Threat. Anyway, you get into the 90s, and it was starting to, like, I guess you guys kind of got your own style of music, but it's not really that original. And then in the 2000s, and pretty much since then, I'm like this. So it's like every idea gone. You guys can't come up with your own kind of freaking music. You gotta be kidding me. You know?
Right.
There's some seriously underground, really cool music, like psychedelic trance in the 90s. But that never made it mainstream. It was never like, oh, everyone in America knows about psychedelic trance. No. Now a lot of people do, I imagine, kind of, sort of. But like that era when it was hidden for us, that was way underground, which I love. And some people who were into hair bands in the 80s, like that kind of music.
Yeah.
And that's all they listen to. They'll admit to you, fuck, I don't know what I was thinking, dude. And fuck, I never even really went into any of that underground, you know, like punk rock and all that stuff. Because they wouldn't play that much. A couple of times the Suicidal Tendencies with All I Wanted Was a Pepsi would get played on the radio.
Yeah.
A couple bands got a couple punk rock songs on the radio. But okay. Mainly, like Fear, the band Fear.
Fear.
They played Saturday Night Live and caused over $200 million in damage to the
what?
Saturday Night Live station.
How?
They're punk rock, dude. That's what we did.
Well,
fuck,
how
shit
do you
up.
Do that damage? You just bust
break
it?
Break L. Oh. The crowd went wild and
oh,
everybody just broke everything.
I thought you meant they turned the amps up so loud.
No,
they just
no,
busted
no,
everything.
Dude. The people went fucking crazy.
It was a riot.
You can see it on YouTube.
Wow.
You can still see it. It's like punk rock was its own thing. And then I'm like, what was the new music in 2010 to 2020, which is coming around the corner?
Trance. Techno.
And you hear that on the radio?
No.
Or you...
Not much. Unless it's like...
No, I'm at mainstream, like...
Moby. Or Chemical Brothers.
They don't play those guys around my neighborhood in
they
Santa Rosa.
They play Moby.
Rosa. Where? What station?
On Live 105.
We don't get that up here.
Oh, well, around here, I don't
no,
know.
No, I'm saying
get.
You live in San Fran or Santa Cruz. What's the best radio station in Santa Cruz?
I don't know. I don't listen to the radio that much.
Because no
down
one
there.
Listens to the fucking radio anymore, dude.
Right.
It's like, it's a thing of the past, whereas a lot of things are going to get shut down. I don't think brick and mortar buildings or companies are going to be allowed for that much longer. Everything will go to the net.
Right.
They're going to get rid of the combustible engine. Every car will be electric and, mark my words, self-driven. Because human beings make errors and robots don't.
Ah.
And so there will be so many less deaths on the road, right?
Yeah, but all cars have to be robots to make it work.
They're going
to
do it. They'll do it. They'll make it happen by law. It's
wow.
Like saying, I don't have to smog my car. And it's like, yeah, you do. Because it's the law. Once they make it the law, dude, then that's the law.
No,
we don't want your
just...
We don't want your combustible engine on the road anymore, and it's against law. If I see you driving one, you're gonna get a $5,000 ticket. Who's gonna take their car out on the road at that point?
Uh-huh.
Unless you're so rich that you're like, I got F me money, and I don't care about a $5,000 cheap ass dollar ticket.
Well, they would have to have a phase out period where you get to drive your old car till 2030
well,
or
waiting
something.
For that to happen is my point.
Right.
I'm like, dude. We keep killing the planet, and it's like, well, are we going to start taking it back over? And everyone's like, Trump's maybe a great president, or maybe the worst. And I'm like, dude, that guy doesn't give a shit about this planet. He cares about one thing and one thing only, money.
Uh-huh.
And that's a horrible fucking thing, dude.
Yeah.
In my eyes, I don't know. I don't like people that only think that money's the best thing.
Sure.
I can just buy my way out of anything, dude. I get in trouble, I just pay my way out.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it is for super duper duper rich people.
Right.
You'll see. Even that dude, what's his name? The super skanky movie guy?
Oh, Weinstein.
Yeah, Weinstein. He'll buy his way out of that shit, dude. He's got that kind of FU money.
Yeah,
F-me
probably.
Money. What's the difference between FU money and F-me money?
What?
FU money is when you're super duper rich. F-me money is when you're so rich that you're like this. This is going to cost me $100,000 to fuck you over, and I don't even care.
Wow.
Like, you've got so much money that you purposely will get that $5,000 ticket for driving your combustion engine car because it's only $5,000 to you. You're like, fuck, I don't give a shit. I still want to be cool and be the only one that can drive a combustion car until they catch me.
Right.
And they didn't make the rule where they're going to impound my car if they see me on the road yet. So, fuck it. I'm just going to get the tickets. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's one way to look at it. Fuck you, fuck me. Either way. But, well, I think it's still a long ways off. But it's probably a good thing. I would be behind that. I like the idea of getting combustion engines off the road. Self-driving cars.
Self-driving. I don't like the idea of self-driving because I actually like racing and driving cars. But I got a sponsor. Fucking getting paid, people. Our new sponsor called Girls Saveth Club. They are pre-soaked Grey Goose vodka tampons. 6 in a pack, vacuum sealed, floating in vodka. Tampons by Girls Save at the Club. Anyway, back to Olson.
Okay, after our message from our
sponsor,
had to make a little money for the Stew Show. Tampon
commercial. Let's just get back to the Indeed part.
Okay.
So, most romantic part was in
Bolivia.
Titicaca.
Tiwanaku.
I thought it was
Lake Titicaca, yeah.
I just think that name is funny. She's got titties, but she has to use the bathroom, so we call her Titicaca.
There you go.
No, okay, so that's the most romantic spot. Where was the most dangerous to where you were like, we need to get out of here?
Well,
it's got to be somewhere down there where you were like, or we're not even going there. We've heard it's shady.
Well, we didn't really get harassed at all. One night we were at a gas station restaurant using the Wi-Fi, and the restaurant closed, and we were still in the car. And all these dudes started showing up, and they were kind of looking in the window. What are these guys doing? And it looked like they were either dealing drugs or maybe it was gay hookup spot, but we were in the vehicle, so we just
gay
drove
boys.
Away. Yeah. Okay, we'll go find another spot. And we did.
But wasn't there, like, you were going to go to this, you were going to go somewhere, and then you kind of got the word, you probably shouldn't go there.
Yeah, know? Paraguay, we heard that there might be some road bandits, and there's not really a whole lot to see.
And the Polish guy on your boat, I know there was more than one, the team up, but one of the Polish guys, he got gaffled by a taxi driver. Where was he at?
Yeah, that's right. He was in Buenos Aires, and an old guy.
Buenos Aires.
Kind of little, and he got jacked by the cab driver, stole his money and his passport. But our other American friend has an apartment there, and he was able to help out Captain Jack and got him on his flight. So he just lost some money and got scared. And
right.
Got another passport through the
embassy.
Hey,
getting losing money is way better than getting shot. Ask me. I've been shot 5 times.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't give my wallet up. Psych! we were hanging out at my house the other night, and Santosh said, have you seen that new Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Uh-huh.
And so we throw that movie on. It was better than I thought it would be, because I thought it was, I've heard rumors of how it's, if you like the music, that's how they get you, kind of, the plot really isn't there, and I know a lot about the scene, and they were really quiet about the drug use and what they were really all about,
you know,
it's like, okay, don't tell about that part at all, make it seem like they're just the greatest guys, super talented. but they're just, they just have a attitude. And I'm like, no, fuck that. That's Queen, dude. That guy, so those guys are bangers. And I don't mean shooting people up. They fucking stick it in the syringe and put it in their wrist. A banger.
Kabanga, kabanga, kabanga.
All day long. But yeah.
Well, it was more the Freddie Mercury story, I thought.
Well, the thing is, was I gave it a thumbs up. It was pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
It kept my attention.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like their music a lot, so it was easy to just get into.
Right.
And it was funny, though. When he starts hanging out with his other friends, and you look over at me and you're all, gay boys. Yeah.
Well, they show the whole transition of Freddie being a straight guy and getting married to the love of his life that he wrote that song about, to admitting to her that he was bi, and then being very promiscuous and eventually contracting AIDS. And dying from it at 45, pretty young.
So, in the court of stew, true or false, you and Max Stone slept with a man before about 15 years ago?
No, we didn't.
Objection, Your Honor. Non-responsive. Motion to strike. I'm just kidding, dude. I had to get my motion to strike out there.
Motion to strike.
Bam! That's when I punch him in the arm, you guys. Ready?
Ow. Ow. Hey,
stop it.
Hey,
you like that?
Get your back.
Oh, you want some of this? Oh, man. Well, you have anything else you want to talk about your trip?
We did Antarctica last time, so I don't know if I would repeat myself.
Finished?
But yeah, it was a good trip. A lot of driving. I mean, we covered some really vast distances, probably 6,000 or 7,000 miles driving. It was quite long distances, and the very end in southern Patagonia was quite amazing. Beautiful scenery and mountains down there.
It's
where we were on Valentine's Day in February, and then the very end of the trip in this cool little Uruguay seaside town called Colonia del Sacramento, but everybody calls it Colonia. And then we found some beaches, and we finally just kind of got a vacation. Because the whole time, except for a few times in Chile going up the coast, we really didn't go to the beach or hang out or get sun. It was mostly a cold climate trip in the summer down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all right, though, for, you know.
Yeah.
Did you have the gear?
Sure.
Like, I like snowboarding because I stay dry.
Right.
I go surfing no matter what, even with a wetsuit on.
Still get
you're
wet.
You're going to get wet.
Right.
But I love surfing, too, so it's kind of one of those yin-yangers.
Yeah. All right, Stu Show.
What's that one dude from the 70s, like... Imagine bell-bottoms, kind of some white. Elton John sunglasses with a funky beanie on. You're walking down the street in New York. It's summertime. That means sticky and hot.
It's a fun time.
Summertime.
When living's easy.
I'm ready, ready, ready for this summer. Oh boy. I'll tell you what about that, my friend.
Like it's raining again.
I know. So over at like who is it? Who won't? Ooh, you better call him. Call the Heinz.
Do another version?
No, we could just have him on real quick.
Should
I call? If he picks up, but I'm gonna just throw on something.
Still recording.
Oh, you got Stone on, too.
Okay, you want to go
Max?
First? Got him.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Put him on speaker.
My schedule's off. It's been raining, crappy. I couldn't sleep last night. I was sick a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything is topsy-turvy.
Like, We're just about to wrap up the stew show, but then you and Heinz called at the same time, but we went because you're closer to the microphone pretty much is the only reason we got you on now. What do you want to say to people? Ask Cantas a question about South America, bro.
Or your impressions of the How Weird Street Fair 20 years in, because you were at the very first one, weren't you?
Of course I was.
He's been to almost every one.
The Arch Deluxe.
Back then.
I think the Arch Deluxe was a thing back then.
It was our corporate sponsor.
It was...
Oh, you're going to laugh at who paid me today. Liquid alcohol. Liquid alcohol that you're not allowed to drink. Let's put it that way.
What kind of...
Oh, don't worry about it. You'll hear the show, Stone. So, ask Santaj away or tell us about your version of How Weird.
How Weird, if that's what you want to know. Well, the first one was small, but it was quaint.
Quaint.
No, not the first one, dude. I DJ'd the first one. Talk about this year's How Weird.
I know.
He's building up to it.
I'm leading to that. This one was probably one of the best street fairs I've been to because the layout was great. They had a great layout. So, I don't know. If you guys change it around every year, don't change it around.
You guys
anymore.
Are only... I want you to know... He's only saying that because he did the layout this year.
Well, Max worked, and so did Heinz. But you were over at Temple, you said. You weren't at CCC stage where we were most of the time. What'd you like about that scene?
I went to the party within the party.
Yeah.
The parking lot. I mean, come on, man. You have the transit center backdrop with that latticework facade. So you had like a million-dollar view to start with.
Right.
Other than that, you know, you had the tall buildings on the side, so it was all bracketed in. You had a one-way in, so there was no traffic, people going side and left and right and over. It was simply a party.
Yeah.
So for anybody who found that, it's kind of like once you were in, baby.
And you found your groove? You were dancing with some little girls, or what was going on over there?
There was definitely little girls. And
you were dancing with bigger girls too, though. I saw that.
There was bigger girls. This was, you know, I mean, CCC was cool because they made use of that up by Art Alley. You didn't have the intersection block, so it had good flow in the center of the fest, you know, which hasn't always been every year. Sometimes, you know, you have something in the middle of that intersection, so that freaking worked. The only thing I want you to change is I don't want you to have anybody's selling anything under that new overpass where the buses are, because I think we need a, you know, place in the middle of the fair to set up a stoner tent or something.
Huh.
I don't know. Don't need a tent under the overpass.
The Spliff Olympics will come back.
Yeah, there you go. Nah, it was great. This one turned out. It turned out. It was good. I mean, everybody had fun. It wasn't... there was no real... crowd clusterfuck anywhere. That's the thing I like the most. I like that you could move around. But then, like I said, the most, I like the party in the parking lot.
Nice.
Max? Max, please.
Steve-O!
Who was your favorite DJ?
I don't pay attention to the DJ names.
Objection, Your Honor! Non-responsive. Motion to strike.
I don't listen to music. I don't know who's who.
So you danced a bit in the Temple stage?
Yeah.
That was your zone? That's where you found your groove?
I danced. Most of my time dancing was in the parking lot.
Nice.
So,
it was great. It was good.
Hold on, Max. Next year, you've already got another theme for next year's party?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
What do you got?
Well, we're going to continue with the
decades.
Inside
scoop. Do-do-do. This just in.
We're going to continue with the decades and do the 90s, and then it's back to where we came from when we all started dancing to this music in the 90s.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Back to the origin.
The origins.
Full circle.
Yeah. When we all met in the 90s and we were dancing to trance music for the first time, and clubs were opening up with this kind of music. So back to our origins. Yep.
Okay. So you did Back to the Future, and now you're doing Back to the Future again.
Well, no, like that was back to the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s, right? What were we doing in the 80s? Like, we care.
Yeah.
90s is really when it all started. It all started at the...
You know what the representative product of the 80s is? Aquanet hairspray.
What else came around in the 80s? Any new inventions besides hair bands?
Well, hair bands. So how many Baker days lately? It's been kind of wet and rainy and cold for Baker.
It's been, I went Friday, and it was okay, but it wasn't Stella. It was nice, but that's really it. It's been really crappy. I mean, right now, all this rain, it seems like it might be nice.
I'll bet you most of my listeners don't give a crap about Baker Beach.
They might.
They're not worried about it.
They should.
Give a damn.
We're about to end this because we've been doing this a while. Let us call you back, and you guys can talk about Baker on your own time.
Well, you enjoy yourself then.
All right, Bretta, and say goodbye to the family.
Goodbye to the kids.
Okay. Now, what's his favorite word again? Jesus to you too.
Arch Deluxe. Now we're calling Mr. Orsatti.
Bringing in the Swiss chocolate.
Swiss chocolat.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
We are calling all Swiss German Americans who went to How Weird Street Fair about what they thought of the 20th annual 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's a loaded question for me.
Come on.
Well, you know, First of all, yeah.
Objection, Your Honor. Non-responsive motion to strike.
It's really a generational thing here. 20 years, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And also, I what really struck me, even this year and last year, the kids, they behave without sacrificing their exuberance, meaning they don't smash shit up like a rock and roll generation was kind of violent.
Yeah.
And I feel this one is much smoother.
They're not punk rockers? Is that what you're getting at? They're not smashing apart
punk rock, heavy metal, whatever, man, people. Go on.
Well, they're millennials generation. They like techno. It's a pretty young crowd.
But I think it's now we are post-millennial, and don't we go in the generation, what is it called, Z, the last letter?
Yeah, it might be Z now.
Yeah.
No, in this generation, Heinz, what the deal is they made all the guys have a, pardon my French, vaginas.
Oh. Whatever that means.
Hey, I just went to Bay to Breaker this morning, you know, see the front guys.
Yeah.
And they,
how was it?
It was great, but there too, you know, when you sex a canarian or something, everybody's like... I mean, there were a few old guys, but not much. I mean, there was the sea of humanity, but the sea of humanity was millennials.
Wow.
So, hold on, Heinz. Just real quickly, tell everybody what the Beta Breakers is.
Well, you run from one bay to the breakers.
Breakers are the waves.
So it's a foot race in San Francisco from where you run from the bay to the ocean.
Right, and
okay,
it's
there
always
you go.
It's funny, I was right there when the first three guys came, black, black, black.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Kenyans.
Yeah, they're all from Africa, from Kenya, so they come here for that, you know, I don't even think they live here.
Probably not. Well, it is a running race, and they win money if they win, so They probably travel around.
But anyway, for me also was really cool to see Laser and, you know, like, what is it, Douglas and stuff, people I haven't seen. So that's a personal thing. Also, I haven't seen Stu there, which kind of amazed me.
Huh. He was there.
I know, I heard.
So did you have a favorite stage? Was there anywhere you like to dance?
Yes,
or?
Yes, I do, and it's actually Max took me there. It's not that it's favorite, but I really liked it there, and he kind of introduced me for the same reason. It was like under the bridge there by the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's the new space.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of blink there, you know, one of those. And
blow
we
up.
Even went inside, and people were making
ups?
Out inside. It was very kind of pinkish.
Yeah. Heinz, hold on. What are blinks or blow ups? What are they?
He said blinks, a blow up sculpture.
Blimp.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about. That's how he set it up.
So it's hold on. What are they, Santa?
So it's like a blow up head, right? That was on top of the bus.
Talking about, I call it blink. You know those what do you call it? Those RV who shine. What do you call?
Oh yeah, the twerkulator. That bus.
Like the old fashioned. They have a name, you know, silver streaks.
Yeah.
They're all aluminum outside.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. It was
but you like the Temple stage too. Okay, that's Max was just on the Stu show, and he was saying he really liked it there too. He liked the expansion into that parking lot. You thought that was a good addition to the fair?
Right.
Because I didn't think people were going to be able to find it okay, but was there a pretty good crowd in there?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Like,
okay.
Like it's its own separate party, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't even feel the other How Weird Street, which is actually in a lot of spaces like that. But there it was kind of like, yeah, man, they have their own little thing going on here.
Nice.
Yeah. What was that, the temple?
A temple, yeah. That was right next to that club called Temple, and that was their stage. Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys thought so much of that, because I wasn't sure how well that was going to go over. But it sounds like it was a good addition.
Did you still run the gates?
Well, yeah. I mean, we had people that do sort of those things, but I was supervising, and I was there a lot. So I didn't get to see too many stages when they were going off. But I was kind of hanging out by CCC because Emily was up there and all these guys were too. So that's where Stu and I were most of the time, and you and Max were down at the Temple stage.
Yeah, so thanks for letting me be part of it. It was really cool. For me, it's like, wow. And, you know, it's really, I mean, the city is changing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And with the, for you guys, it ran really smooth, but it must be the preparation for the organizers must have been hell this year.
It was a tough year with all the people. But we made it. We did it. Good thing we didn't get the rain like today or we'd have been screwed.
All right, so Heinz.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you and Max on the line. And between the two of you, you have to take one. And this is all hypothetical. But it's a game called If You Have to Choose Your Name at Birth. And
Your date of birth?
No, you have to pick your name at birth. But the only choices you guys have is Montgomery, Gus, or Gunther.
Or Enzo.
No.
Montgomery,
really Gus, or Gunther?
One with
which one are you going to take?
Montgomery. I want it before Enzo does.
Okay. Stone's now Montgomery Stone. And then Heinz, you have Gus or Gunther?
Gunther. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Heinz is going with Gunther.
It's a fine German name.
Now here's the point. Here's the point.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's people you know that have a nickname, but everybody knows that you can't pick your own nickname because it just won't stick. You can't just go, yeah, I want you guys to start calling me Badass. Or, you know, it's like, no, dude, we're not calling you that, bro. Sorry. So this is the Teflon game called Pick Your Nickname, and it comes out of three also. You have number one, T-Bone. Number two, dog fart. Number three, Cracker Barrel.
What
or
the
CB,
hell?
Which also has the initials for cabin boy. So
hey,
is
where
it,
are we going with this? I thought it's about
it
how weird.
T-bone, dog fart, or Cracker Barrel?
I take number three.
Let's get the first choice.
Okay, Gunther Cracker Barrel.
Gunther Cracker
okay,
Barrel.
Pick one. You have T-bone or dog fart?
I'm gonna have to go with T-bone, man.
T-bone.
Montgomery T-bone.
No. T-bone Montgomery.
T-bone Montgomery.
Yeah, T-bone Montgomery. Megan.
It's random stew humor.
Cracker Barrel. No one picked dog fart. Damn.
Gus dog fart. Why would you want that name?
All right, you guys.
Are we on the stew show?
Yes,
you're on the stew show.
Yeah, Santos, by the way, I liked your sailboat description there. That was really cool, especially coming out. You go, oh, we went on the boat, everything was nice, and then coming around. What was that?
Drake Passage.
The Drake.
Yeah, no hell broke loose.
Yep.
That's when he went from Santos to Gunther Cracker Barrel.
Gus Cracker Barrel.
So was it then like the guy who came down Mono yes, Springs for the thing when you had what was the biggest challenge?
Yeah, it was the biggest challenge, just getting through the Drake.
Not the captain of that boat, but the co-captain's nickname was Dogfart, so that's what makes it funny.
Well, that makes it worthwhile.
All right,
Max,
great.
Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye to the people.
Hi, and say goodbye to people.
Hey, happy Sunday and stuff like that.
Beta Brookers.
Yes, and are you going to stay up there, Santos?
No,
up?
I'm coming back
we'll
down
call
tomorrow.
You, we'll call you right back. We're on the show. We'll call you right back, and I want to wish you guys a very, very nice day. I'll end you on this note. I'm supposed to end up fine now. Ooh, alright. Here we go. Takes me a while to be the sound man.
ODs, Easy E's, Ice Cubes and DOCs, the Snoop Dio double G's, and the group that said motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape from the dope beats, the part where you stroll through in your hood. And when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. All you niggas that said that I turn pop or the fur flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all, all of y'all. If y'all don't like me, blow me. Y'all are gonna keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old me.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. So what do you say to somebody you hate?
What?
Or anyone trying to bring trouble your way? One of his off days in the blood of your way? Yeah. Just study your tape with NWA. One day I was walking by with a Walkman on, when I caught a guy giving an awkward eye. You look, he wrangled him off in the parking lot, but it's parking lot. Next to a burnt down house with a can full of gas and a handful of matches, I still weren't found. wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.
All right, y'all. Aloha.
Stu Show.
The Stu Show.